Romans chapter 8. Please stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Last week we talked about the fact that we are still in this perishable, sinful body. And here, in this perishable, sinful body, we groan, longing to be clothed with our new heavenly body. Paul talks about one particular area of weakness that we still have in verses 26 and 27. And those are our verses for today. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, give you a humble, trusting, submissive heart, that these holy scriptures would go down deep and build you up and change your life forever? Will you pray right now for the other people in this room, that God would give to them the wonderful gift of a humble, trusting, submissive heart, that these holy scriptures would go down deep into their hearts and build them up and change their lives forever? Would you pray now for me, that I would explain the scripture accurately, that you might be built up by the truth of the Word of God? Heavenly Father, our hearts are burdened today. We know that all over the world today there will be churches and pastors that do not open up the Holy Scriptures. There will be church services and pastors today where the Bible is not opened at all. There will be church services today where the Bible is simply alluded to or pulled out of context or treated as some sort of extra supplementary source. Oh God, our hearts are burdened today because what your church needs is to be edified by the faithful, verse-by-verse teaching of the Holy Scriptures. We pray all over the world today that you would raise up pastors who see it as their job to faithfully read and explain the Scriptures on Sunday, that your family, your children would be built up, that your bride would be washed with the water of the Word. We pray that your church all over the world and in this room would be edified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You should have notes in your bulletin. We only have two verses today. Two very wonderful and powerful verses. Look at verse 26 with me again. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Trinity Baptist, we are weak. We have been studying the Holy Spirit for several weeks now, and the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit in my heart, Christ's home, the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is, number one in your notes, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Look behind me on the screen at John 14, 15, and 16. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. We are born spiritually dead. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness by giving us life. Look at Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit is the witness that confirms that God has adopted us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Look behind me at John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, this is Jesus talking again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. We, you and I, are too weak to overcome temptation. The Holy Spirit helps us. No law, no program can make you better people. No law, no program can make me a better person. The Holy Spirit in your heart sets you free from sin and transforms you into a loving, holy person. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot please God. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit helps us serve the Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Our verse today tells us of a very specific weakness that the Holy Spirit helps us with. Look at it again. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Because we are still in this perishable, cursed, corrupted body, we are weak. And one way we are weak is we do not know how to pray as we should. Number two in your notes. In our human weakness, we don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know how to pray as we should. We do not know God's will. Therefore, we do not know how to pray as we should. We do not know God like we should. We do not approach him as we should. We still do not know God's will, and we don't know how to pray as we should. All of us are in this condition. No matter how mature you are as a Christian, you are weak. And you do not know how to pray as you should. We all need the Holy Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. This is a very specific Greek word, help. It means to take hold of something with someone. To take hold of something with someone. If I were to try to lift this by myself, it's too long, but a brother or a sister could come and take hold of it with me, and I could lift it. Look at Luke 10:40. On the screen behind me for an example of this Greek word help. Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. to take hold of something with someone. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. How does He help us? How does He help us? Look at verse 26 again. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Incredible. Incredible. We do not know how to pray as we should. The Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit Himself speaks to God on our behalf. Greek is not like English. The word order is flexible. In English, you've got to have the words in a certain order or it doesn't make sense. In Greek, all you have to do to emphasize a word is to put it first. And as you read this in Greek, it says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Himself, the Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit Himself speaks to God on our behalf. It says the Spirit intercedes for us. The Greek word intercede is beautiful. It is the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. It is the Greek word hupar en tuchano. Hupar en tuchano. En tuchano means to appeal to someone. To appeal to someone. And that word is used several times in the New Testament. But only one time in the entire New Testament is the prefix hupar added to en tuchano. Hupar literally means over. But in this context, it means on behalf of. To appeal to someone on behalf of. Of someone. The literal meaning over, you can kind of picture the Holy Spirit over us, appealing to God on our behalf. Let's look at the Greek word entuchano because it's used many, many times. Not many times, but several times in the New Testament. Look behind me at Acts 25. This is just the word to appeal to someone. Not with a prefix. So on the next day, when Agrippa came together with Bernice amid great pomp and entered the auditorium, accompanied by the commanders and by the prominent men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Do you have more, Chrissy? Festus said, King Agrippa and all the gentlemen here present with us, you see this man about whom all the people of the Jews appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. The Jews appealed to Festus, Paul needs to die. That's the Greek word entuchano, without the prefix. The Jews appealed to Festus. Look at Romans 11 on the screen behind me. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, talking about Israel. Or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They've torn down your idols. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. Same Greek word, appeal to someone. The Holy Spirit appeals to God. The Holy Spirit pleads with God. The Holy Spirit meets with God. He speaks to God, but Paul adds that prefix, hupar. The only time in the whole New Testament this word has that prefix, the Holy Spirit not only appeals to God, he appeals to God on our behalf. That's in your notes. I believe number 3. The Holy Spirit appeals to God
on our behalf. The Holy Spirit appeals to God on our behalf. You know what's so amazing? The Holy Spirit is not the only one who appeals to God on our behalf. The same word entuchano, appeal to, without the prefix, is used in verse 34 of Romans 8. Look at it. Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 7 behind me on the screen. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. This is so incredible. The privileges of the believer, the blessings of the believer. Remember, Paul in Ephesians 1 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Holy Spirit speaks to God on our behalf. Jesus Christ speaks to God on our behalf also. Number 4 in your notes. Both the Son and the Spirit speak to God on our behalf. People come to me routinely and say, "Pastor, it means so much to me that you are praying for me." And I will pray for you, and I will continue to pray for you, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to pray for you, but that is nothing. The fact that I pray for you is nothing compared to your privileges in Christ. Jesus Christ, exalted to the right hand of the throne of God, intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit, from your heart, appeals to God on your behalf. This is not something the Holy Spirit does once or twice. This is something the Holy Spirit continues to do throughout our journey here on earth. How does the Holy Spirit pray for you? Is it half-hearted? Is it nonchalant? Is it just something he does just because he is supposed to? Look at the verse. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How does he pray for you? In your heart, he intercedes for you with groanings. They are unuttered. They are unspoken. They are too deep for words. The Holy Spirit loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He comes to God in perfect reverence for the Father, praying as he ought. He comes to God in perfect love for you. He comes to God on your behalf with deep groans beyond words. But are his prayers appropriate? You know, groaning beyond words is one thing, but are they appropriate? Is he praying the right thing for you? Or is he just doing these unutterable groanings. Look at the next verse. I'm sorry, let's stay in verse 26 and then move to verse 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the hearts is obviously God the Father. God the Father knows the mind of God the Spirit. God the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. We sing that beautiful song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in perfect unity. They are perfectly unified in mindset, in goals, in desires, in will. Look behind me at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The mindset, the primary desires and concerns of the Holy Spirit are perfectly unified with God the Father. God the Father and God the Spirit are one. Therefore, number 5 in your notes, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. We do not know how to pray. But it's okay. You don't know God. I don't know God. I don't know how to pray. I don't know the appropriate way. I don't know what I should be asking for. I don't know my situation. I am in sin. My heart is not focused where it should be. I don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for me with perfect reverence, perfect unity, and perfect unity with God's desires and will. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? I am weak. You are weak. I cannot understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness. I am too weak to live the righteous and holy life that God created for me. The Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness. I am too weak to serve God. The Holy Spirit gives me spiritual gifts and helps me in my weakness. I do not even know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit in my heart speaks to God on my behalf in perfect harmony with God's will. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we worship you and we thank you for giving us your Son and giving us your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.